sports freaks. It's time to get your game on with the Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. Sponsored by Mountain Credit Union. Serving Western North Carolina since 1963. Horizon Heat and Air. Unmatched quality, service, and price. Eggs Up Grill. Serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. And the We Sell WNC Real Estate team, Chris and Stephanie Scruggs. Now, here's your Sports Freak Hour host, Mike Morgan.
I hope everyone had a happy Father's Day weekend. And welcome to the Sports Freak Hour here with Mike Morgan. I tell you, I had a great weekend. I had both kids in town. Son came in from Raleigh. Daughter is a soon-to-be senior down at Anderson University. And she got engaged over the weekend to her longtime boyfriend, Copeland. So happy for Copeland and Elena. Good to have Brantley home. So it was a heck of a Father's Day weekend in the Morgan family. We had a blast. And the new tradition that kind of happens is, you know, we get together, have dinner, and then we end up watching the tail end of the U.S. Open. And I tell you, what a fantastic finish we had. J.J. Spaun, a kid that was leading after round one, someone I'd heard of but never really kept up with. He got one win back a few years ago at the Texas Open. And typically you see somebody like that in the first round of a major, and they kind of they drift away. Well, he hung around, and he was only one shot out going into the final round. Struggled at the start of the day on Sunday. Actually ended up shooting a 40 on the front side. They had the weather delay. Spaun came back after the weather delay, a brand-new golfer, and he just had an incredible finish. The only player to finish under par in the tournament. He was one under thanks to an unbelievably long putt that he sunk on 18 that gave him that two-shot cushion that guaranteed the victory. So congratulations to J.J. Spaun. We'll talk a little bit more golf with some folks here and a little bit on the show. And then we got a big evening tonight. Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight in Oklahoma City. Series tied 2 games apiece between the Pacers and the Thunder. We'll see if Indiana can get a road win, as you know, both teams have been able to win on the road, so we'll see what happens in Game 5 tonight. And also tonight, if you're a big baseball fan, big news out of Los Angeles, Shohei Ohtani will be making his first pitching appearance, first start in nearly 2 years, as they've been working him up. He's probably only going to throw maybe one, at the most, 2 innings tonight, and he'll be an opener for a bullpen game against the Padres. So Shohei Ohtani will be on the mound, so I'm sure there'll be a ton of media coverage about that as well. That game starts like at 10 o'clock. I won't be watching too much of it because I'll be sound asleep. But as a Dodger fan, I'll wake up in the morning and hopefully we'll see a victory from the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right, great show tonight. Coming up here in just a couple minutes, Ryan McGee from ESPN is going to join me. I love getting Ryan on. We can talk a multitude of stories. We're going to talk a good bit about baseball with him, the College World Series, of course, rolling along. Then around 6:30, Stan Pamphilis, my longtime sportscaster buddy from WLOS, of course, longtime sports director. We'll talk a little more about what we saw at the U.S. Open. And you never know, me and Stan, it may turn into storytelling time, too, because he and I could ramble on and tell stories forever. Maybe a handful of folks would get it and laugh, but for the most part, it would just be for the two of us. But I love talking to Stan, so we'll talk a little bit of sports with him. And then in the home stretch, we'll be talking to Tank Spencer, a longtime producer of mine. And when I did the show up in Asheville, he is one half of the Sportsocracy with Jeremy Green. But he is Tar Heel Tank. And, you know, I'm a big Wolfpack fan. So I've been thinking. I've talked a lot about the Wolfpack since I started the show here on WTZQ. I figured, you know, it's time to maybe bring in some other folks, talk about some other teams. So I'm going to get Tank's thoughts on North Carolina Tar Heels, both basketball and football. And Tank's always a great guest to have on as well. But let's take a break. When we come back, we'll dial up Ryan McGee. So stay locked in here on the Sports Freak Hour on WTZQ.
Are you ready to take your financial well-being to the peak of excellence? Summit Personal Checking combines exceptional benefits, competitive returns, and unparalleled convenience all in one powerful account. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by any of our local branches to learn more.
Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local trained comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Classic breakfast, only $8 before 8 a.m.
Score!
Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And welcome back.
back to the Sports Freak Hour, everybody. Let's head back over to the Mountain Credit Union hotline and bring in Mr. Ryan McGee with ESPN. Ryan, first of all, hope you had a happy Father's Day, my friend.
It was great. It was great. My my daughter is like not even in the United States, but my wife made sure that I had a good time, and it was lovely.
Well, I saw some of the great pictures you posted of you and your dad. Of course, Dr. Jerry McGee. Folks here in Harrison County, we've had you on before. Talked about your dad before too. People love him here for bringing Wingate Campus to our county, and of course, you guys spent some time down Lake Lure a good bit too. So I know your dad hopefully had a good Father's Day too.
He did, and I was actually at Lake Lure, so it was. He was not, but I was, and it was. It was very chill, which is exactly why one goes up there.
Good deal. Well, I tell you what. Now, Ryan, of course, has made his name on ESPN. You see him on the Marty and McGee show, which I think is the best show on ESPN. I'm not just saying that because McGee's on here with me, but I love listening and watching those guys. They have a good time. But he's done a lot for ESPN, but I always joke with him that I know him, and he'll always be an Asheville Tourist intern to me. And did you know, Mr. McGee, I found this out from a friend of the family who is interning there this summer, that now in the training to be an intern, they make them read your book about the Asheville Tourist. How about that?
That's fantastic. And like dig up the stuff I buried out in left field, and hopefully no one will almost die from the soft serve ice cream machine, which is it's funny. I did when I was promoting the book, which has been 2 years ago now. I was promoting the book. I did Dan Levitard's show, and Dan goes, I read the book. He goes, I really enjoyed it. He goes, I'll be honest with you. He goes, it sounded like you almost died like six times. Was that any fun? I'm like, it's the most fun you can have. So you interns just learn how to cheat death. Read the book.
That's right. That's right. And, it's a great book. So get a chance if you haven't read it yet. Tell folks where they can get it. Still buy it on Amazon, I guess, or where can they find your book?
Everywhere. Yeah, Amazon. They've been really good to me. At a couple of the amazing bookstores there in Asheville, and they're quick to order them for anybody listening who wants to get it. And Amazon can get it to you quickly.
And I'm happy to say I'm in the book twice. So you talk about my mom's biscuits, and of course you make fun of the guy who's going to be on after you, Mr. Stan Pamphilis, because to me the funny story there was just how Ron McKee, he gave Stan the hardest time of all of us. There's no doubt.
Yeah, well, Ron just could never figure out why. And Ron McKee was, of course, a legendary general manager and co-owner of the team. And Ron could never figure out why the headline on page one of the Citizen Times wasn't about the tourists every single day.
Right.
And he couldn't figure out why you guys at LOS weren't leading with it every single day.
Exactly.
And even though, honestly, there was a lot going on, particularly right. 94 team was awful. But, yeah. Him calling out Stan – from what I now, it's like a beer garden, like luxury box area down the right field
right,
line. But
right.
Back then, it was like you go to the Vatican,
yeah,
and you see the Pope walk out on his balcony and address all the people. That's what it was like when Ron would walk out on his balcony. He was right off his office, and he unloaded on Stan that day. And I still say if on a quiet night. If you really listen to Blue Ridge Mountains, you can still hear Ron's voice echoing, screaming Stan Pamphilis' name in the mountains.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I tell you. I love covering the tourists. I don't go to as many games as I used to anymore, but, man, we had a good time. Back in the good old glory days. And I tell you, Ryan, one thing, man, you just love baseball, don't you? How did you become such a lover not only of just the minor leagues, which you've got a hat, I think, from just about every single ballpark and then or every single team, and then college baseball, too. Just kind of what brought on the baseball passion for you?
Yeah, and I'm literally wearing a Nashville Sounds hat that I just bought.
There we go.
I was in Nashville for the CMA Fest last week and bought it. But, no, it's honestly, you mentioned my dad. People always ask, why did I cover NASCAR or why did I cover college football? Well, my dad was a NASCAR pit crew guy when I was a kid, and my dad was a college football official when I was growing up. And my love for baseball, I think like so many people, here coming off Father's Day, that's what it goes back to. My dad played college baseball at East Carolina. He played textile league ball, high school baseball down east in Rockingham. And we were a baseball house. But if you're going to grow up in the Carolinas, and you're a baseball fan, you're going to watch college baseball and you're going to watch minor league baseball because the Braves were the closest thing we ever had. And, that was a trip. To go down there, especially North Carolina.
They weren't good back then.
No, they were terrible. They were terrible. And so team, growing up, team in Kinston and, you know, a team in Burlington and a team in Winston-Salem and a team in Greensboro, a team in Charlotte, a team in Asheville, you know, and it would kind of pop up, you know, at one point or another. There's been dozens of towns in North Carolina that have had baseball teams, and we would, that was our family hobby in the summertime.
Cool.
We collected ballparks. The reason we discovered McCormick Field, we were living in Greenville, South Carolina. Dad worked at Furman, and we get out to Baseball America Director. We're like, all right, the tourists are home. Let's go. And that was old McCormick Field.
Oh,
this
yeah.
would have been in the late 80s. And
right.
so they hadn't redone it yet. And it was, and we fell in love with the place. Had the old wicker, like church fellowship hall chairs and
yeah.
the luxury boxes. I put luxury in air quotes. And, the original wooden grandstand from the 20s was still there. And it was just, so that's how I love baseball was growing up with it. And I mean, my dad and my brother and I are still Charlotte Knights season ticket holders.
Yeah.
That's what we do as a pastime is we still go to minor league baseball games to this day.
Have you been to every minor league park in America?
No, yeah. And it's kind of a moving target.
Right.
I'm at 141 now.
Jeez. Wow.
And a lot of the parks I went to are no longer there.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like just down the road in Spartanburg, every year, you know, there are new ballparks that are popping up. And so I will book my travel based on, like in the summertime, if I'm going around and, you know, previewing college football teams for the fall or whatever, I will book my travel around the minor league schedule. And now the minor league schedule runs to the end of September, which is relatively only happened the last couple of years. And so even when I'm on the road in the fall for Marty and McGee, I will absolutely look and see if the minor league team is home and sneak over there on a Friday night. So yeah, there's one guy that's got more. There's a guy, my buddy Ben, Ben's Biz, he calls himself. He writes for the MILB.com for the minor league, and every minor league ballpark has been open this century. He's been to.
Wow.
And he's become a friend of mine, but I'm very jealous of Ben because that's all he gets paid to do is just.
Hey.
Make road trips and go to minor league ballparks.
Hey, PGA, everybody's still chasing Jack. You can be chasing Ben now. See if you can.
There you go.
I hope you do. Hey, Ryan McGee from ESPN on the Sports Freak Hour here. And you're getting ready to head to Omaha. I know you love the College World Series. I'm all in for Coastal Carolina. I'd love to see them get it done. But I know you love going out there, and you've done a ton of stories over the years and even written a book about Omaha and the College World Series.
Yeah, and it's just the history of it. You know, this is the 75th anniversary of the College World Series being in Omaha. And you know, I still refer to the current ballpark as the new ballpark, although I think this is like the 13th year they've been in it.
Yeah.
But now the neighborhood has grown up around, you know, Charles Schwab Field, and the fans have gotten used to it. And the tailgaters, the LSU and Arkansas tailgaters are out there. And so it's just great. To me, the greatest sporting events are the ones that can't imagine the town or city without the event and vice versa.
Right.
You know, Augusta and the Masters,
yeah.
Pasadena and the Rose Bowl, the Indianapolis 500 where I was a month ago.
That's right.
I mean, you just can't imagine them apart. And, you know, the teams don't say we're on the road to the College World Series or our goal is to get the College World Series. They say it's road to Omaha, right? Our goal is to get to Omaha. And so when you get out there, they have a million people living in Omaha, but it feels like Asheville, right? It feels like a smaller city, and everybody knows everybody, and everybody's been coming there forever. And so, you know, that's what I try to kind of convey. And when I get out there, yeah, I'm with you on Coastal, man. I co-host a show on the SEC Network.
Yes,
it is good for me professionally for SEC teams to win the College World Series every year. But it's best for the event. And for the sport of college baseball, when Murray State is there and when three teams from the West Coast are there and when, you know, we have eight teams there this year that weren't there last year.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah.
You don't see that in football and basketball. And so I think it's great. But yeah, if Murray State and Coastal could make enough noise, the Coastal's in the catbird seat. They're in the driver's seat.
Oh, they are.
So they won the first two games. And so if Coastal can make a run and maybe Murray State can upset a big team and make some noise, that's the perfect Omaha week.
And they haven't lost in like a month or something, have they? Don't they on some crazy winning streak, Coastal?
April 22nd
was
the last time that Coastal lost a baseball game. I tweeted it out after they won on Sunday night. I said it had been, 7 weeks and however many days. I said in an entire papacy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had a whole new pope. since, you know, a full tenure of a Pope since Coast Carolina lost baseball.
That's great. And there's just something about it, man, when you get to winning and you're going to roll in any sport, and especially in baseball, because I think what, college baseball especially, because you look at it, all the SEC teams that got in, and, you know, the Carolina, North Carolina was probably the best team still standing. They couldn't make it. I mean, it's just like, yep. You know, it wasn't like, you know, and we had some, yeah, there are some higher seeds that are there, but it's like some of the blue bloods did not make it. But, man, that's college baseball, because anything can happen. You get hot at the right time, especially in college baseball with the composite bats they use. You never know what might happen.
Yeah, and that's what makes Coastal's winning streak, which is like 25 games now, that's what makes it so crazy.
Yeah.
Is because just the nature of baseball is, and this is all I need to know, so the nature of baseball is that everyone loses, right?
Right.
The greatest major league teams, the 27 Yankees and you know, the Red Sox and the 2000, they still lost a lot of games because it's the nature of the game. And no one ever wins College World Series without usually dropping a game. And no one ever runs the table in a tournament. And so the nature of it is you lose. I mean, Coastal's last loss was a Tuesday night game against College of Charleston.
Wow.
And now they're destroying national seeds. But that's the beauty of the game. But Arkansas is really the last single-digit national seed left, and they lost their first game against LSU. So it's just the nature of it is the nature of the game is crazy. But, yeah, in Coastal Carolina, listen, Garrett Gilmore, who was the coach there forever, you know, had to retire earlier than he wanted to because he's battling two types of cancer.
Right.
And hadn't been to a game all year because he didn't want to overshadow, you know, the guy, his right-hand man who became the head coach. The first game he attended in person was in Omaha, and they won. And then the second game was in Omaha, and they won. And so it's just, you know, and we're all old enough to remember when it was, you know, the University of South Carolina Coastal College.
Yes.
And you know, they didn't have anything. They were playing, you know, ball in a high school baseball stadium. And so now they have one World Series championship and have a chance for another. And that's, I mean, God bless America, Mike.
Amen to that. But now they host your favorite bowl game down there too, because they
Myrtle Beach Bowl is the best, and they embrace who they are, which is what I love. You know, the Republic of Horry County, and that's that's who they are, and they play beach music at all the games. And it's just it's exactly what it should be if you're going to sporting events at the beach.
Well, I look forward to that game the most because you and Marty typically are on the sideline doing the reporting, and that's better than the game sometimes. It's a lot of fun because you guys have a good time, man. You and Marty, how much fun are you having doing the Marty and McGee show? Because it is, again, I think it's one of my favorite shows on the radio. Well, what's it like dealing with him and having fun with him every single Saturday?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We're just friends.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, man, you and I have both been in the broadcast business for a long time.
Yep.
And you know this, I was a producer forever. And the most frustrating thing in the world was when, you know, I'm producing a TV show for ESPN or Fox, and we hire three or four really, really crazy talented people and put them on a desk together. It just doesn't work.
Right.
You know, it's just like putting together a roster of a sports team.
Yeah.
The chemistry is either there or it isn't. You can't invent it. It either happens or it doesn't. And Marty and I have been friends. We think we first met like at South Boston Speedway covering like a NASCAR truck series race in the early 2000s and late 90s. We've known each other 25 years. And
right.
So we can't believe we get to do it. I mean, legit. After every show, he looks at me and I look at him and he goes, "You think we'll get to do it again next week?" And I go, "I don't know. We'll see." And we've been on for, gosh, almost a decade and a half. And so it's knock on wood. They keep letting us do it. And we're very, very thankful that, you know, we've had a lot of different bosses at ESPN, and no one has even once told us to change what we're doing or what we sound like or how we go about it. And we're very, very thankful for that.
Well, I think there'd be an uprising here in the South if they ever try to get rid of you guys, and I'd probably be one of the ones helping lead the uprising, because that would not be a good day, but let's hope that day never comes. I know you're knee-deep in baseball. I've got to let you go here in a minute, but college football is right around the corner. Maybe give me two of the three storylines you're looking forward to jumping into as you start doing preseason college football stuff.
Well, there's a handful of teams. I mean, you listen, the Big Ten's won the last two national championships.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question was, if the SEC won all the college football playoff championships, and at the very least they had one team in the championship game, usually had two, and now the Big Ten's answered a little bit. And so the question is, the two superpowers of the sport, you know, what kind of stage are we setting going forward? And I think it's great. And I think this talk about an SEC Big Ten football challenge weekend, like we've seen in basketball in the past, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so that, but then there's specific teams I'm looking at. I mean, I'm fascinated by LSU. I love their quarterback, who is sat behind a Heisman winner, and we saw him kind of mature last year. I like Brian Kelly. This is not cranky Brian Kelly we saw at Notre Dame way back in the day. He's a different guy. And so I would love to see him do it, but if they don't figure out how to stop, you know, play defense, which I never thought I would say about LSU, who knows? I think this year is as wide open as we have seen in a long time. And I'm excited to see the reseeding of the playoff. I think that's smart.
Yeah, and so
we'll see how it goes. But to me, that's the storyline is that I don't know that we really know what's going to happen. And I think the last, you know, I love Nick Saban, and I'm glad that he's my coworker at ESPN, but I'm glad he's not coach anymore because it's a lot less boring. You know,
yeah.
You had one pillar you just knew was going to be in the playoff.
Right.
Four teams, 12 teams, whatever. And now, the field's kind of wide open, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and the Belichick thing in Chapel Hill, at least we're at least I'm seeing more and more football talk here in the last few weeks than I've seen in the past. So, but who knows? How is that all going to play out? That we'll be watching that all year long.
So we had Michael Lombardi on Marty and McGee just this past Saturday.
Right.
And, you know, Lombardi's been on TV forever, but he also has a bunch of Super Bowl rings because he worked with Belichick at the Patriots. And
right. He
is the general manager of – you know, UNC football. And
right. We're
seeing more and more teams do this.
Yeah.
I had dinner with the general manager from Ohio State a few weeks ago. And everybody's doing this because now you have a payroll. And now you've got to look at all these things. And you got to handle boosters officially and all these things. And Lombardi, when we brought up the girlfriend, Belichick's girlfriend, he got, not surprisingly, he got a little irritated. Mm-hmm. Just, not irritated, but fired up. And was just like, listen, my question was, well, did you have to kind of circle the wagons in the building to deal with TMZ and People Magazine and, you know, all this after that CBS Sunday morning? He goes, we're not circling the wagons. He said, we're going to circle the wagons against Clemson. We're going to circle the wagons against East State. We're going to circle the wagons against these other schools that we have to play. And he said, we're circling the wagons against Tennessee and South Carolina when it comes to recruiting. And that's kind of what he said. He said, I don't know if I believe him or not, but he said that in the building, it was never as big of a deal as it was outside the building. But, you know, you're also dealing with a roster of 119-year-olds.
That's right.
And so the question is, how much does that affect them? But I said this to you before. I wrote a column about it when Belichick was hired. We're both from the state. I was born here. I'll be buried here.
Mm-hmm.
They've not won the ACC since 1980.
Right.
Lawrence Taylor was on the roster.
Yep.
And so I'm going to be curious to see how the University of North Carolina takes – arguably the greatest coach in the history of professional football and turns it into a solid 9-win Duke's Mayo Bowl season because that's who they are,
yeah,
you know, but maybe not. And we'll see, but it's going to be fascinating to watch.
I can't wait. It'll be here before you know it. And there'll be a lot of what we'll be talking about in the weeks ahead. Well, Ryan, always good catching up with you, my friend. Safe travels to Omaha. Have fun at the College World Series. Looking forward to seeing your coverage from out there.
You are the man, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Stan Pamphilis will join me here on the Sports Week Hour on WTZQ. So keep it locked in right here.
Eggs Up Grill.
Classic breakfast, only $8 before 8 a.m.
Score!
Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local train comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
Are you ready to take your financial well-being to the peak of excellence? Summit Personal Checking combines exceptional benefits, competitive returns, and unparalleled convenience all in one powerful account. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by any of our local branches to learn more.
Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963.
And hey, everybody, welcome back to the Sports Week Hour here on WTZQ. Let's head back over to the Mountain Credit Union hotline and bring in my longtime colleague, good friend, man, partner in crime back in the WLOS days. He is the one, the only. He has a fan named after him. Stan. Pam. Phyllis. What's going on, buddy?
Everything's all good. Of course, I get a phone call right now from Spam, I'm sure. That's
sure
my biggest.
Is.
That's
perfect
my biggest comment. Fan. That's my biggest fan is Spam.
I think that's everybody's biggest fan. And all the people from time to time, I'll reach out to them like from my work number, and they'll be like, I don't recognize that number. They'll hang up on me. I was like, hey, that was me. I'm calling you. I got a different phone. Sorry. And I'm a dual phone guy now. Well, I tell you what, man. Well, first time I've had you on the show with me, so just man, just tell everybody kind of what you're doing nowadays, kind of what's going on in the daily life of the retired former sports director Stan Pamphilis.
Well, let's see. I go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, walk a lot, I play golf once in the Blue Moon once in a while, you know, if I can, and just go down and visit my mother occasionally, and just do stuff around here if I can, and just you know, try to. Have a good life, and
oh, yeah.
You know, my wife and I have a good situation, and our son has moved back to Asheville, so that's cool. So I see him occasionally.
Yeah,
so it's all good, man. You know, I'm happy. I'm involved with the MAC, with the Mountain Amateur Athletic Commission, and that's been fun. And sometimes do some stuff for UNCA with their Hall of Fame board, and so I've been involved in a couple of things which keeps me occupied, and you know, and just keep tabs with everybody and just enjoy things.
You know, I was a member of the MAC for a number of years, too. And just to be in one of those meetings, I almost wish somebody could be in there because the shenanigans that happen, the laughs that happen, that is such a great group of people. And, again, if y'all don't know what that is, they do the big, the MAC puts on the big awards banquet every year at the Grove Park. They also do a lot with the West North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. And, yeah, so just a great group. And Stan's been a part of that for a long time, too. And
it's fun. They're fun folks, and I think we do good things. And another thing I forgot to mention, Mike, is I watch a lot of golf videos on YouTube, and I've got about 5,000 swings. They work once in a while. But I keep thinking, the next one's the one that's going to work.
Well, you're good for any situation. You're in the foot-tall rough that we saw over the weekend, and, of course, we just wrapped up the U.S. Open. You know, and sometimes I'm like, man, it's fun to watch these guys play as bad as I do. But at other times, I'm like, I don't like the best players in the world flubbing shots. But we saw a lot of that yesterday. What a crazy finish we had at the
end. I missed. Yeah, I was watching a lot of it, then had to do some things, and it had the rain delay. And then we got back from dinner, and I came back and watched the last couple of holes. I don't really, you know, I'm like you. I like to see them. You know, I like to see it tough, but sometimes I thought Oakmont was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the green, you know, I'll tell you one thing I give credit to Spahn is that the first 5 or 6 holes, he got every bad break he could think of, but he kept at it. That one ball, he hits his pin, and it goes back 50 yards. I mean, my gosh. But, you know, he kept charging, and that last putt was just, that'll be seen forever and ever and ever. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I like it to be tough, but I don't want it to be ridiculous because, like you said, we want to see these guys perform. I mean, that's what they do.
Oh, I agree. And I think, you know, it just was so tough. And going into the final round, Burns was leading. Of course, you had Adam Scott right there. And everybody thought, okay, those are two guys, been there before. Spahn was not someone. He was that typical, you look good in round one, then you kind of disappear. But he just hung around and hung around. Shot a 40 on the front side. And was
that's
able
first
to
time it happened.
Yeah, and the rain delay, he was terrible, came back after the rain delay. And he was like a totally different person. He was lights out. And I love stories like that, too. I love where a dude that's only won once on the tour is the one that pulls off and wins the major. I thought that was a great, great theater late in on our day on Father's Day.
And you know what I love, too? I know I'm a little softy, but when his family comes, I think I just think that's what really cracks, you know, breaks me up a little bit. And the girl, his girls and his wife, and I love that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's amazing because he was a guy, like you said, I mean, I know he'd won one tournament, but he hadn't really done anything, and he looked sort of shaken, like, but he kept at it. I mean, I give him credit. I didn't get all of it. Like I said, I heard Burns got a bad call by the official. I didn't see that, but I heard it was a bad situation. Our buddy Barry Clayton told me that.
It was. It was a lot of standing water right where he was, and he was walking around. He was trying to get a drop. They didn't give him a drop, and then he promptly swung a little too hard through the ball and rope hooked it to the left of the green. And there was a lot of that. It was so wet. I think even like Justin Thomas was putting stuff on social media about, hey, this is unplayable. They need to stop. Let's come back tomorrow. But you know how those deals are. They want to make sure, you know.
Yeah. Well, I thought for sure I'm probably sure they were going to come back today. That's what I kept telling Jay, my wife. I said, you know what? I'm sure, because we took off and did things. I said, well, I'm sure I'll see the rest of it tomorrow. Then when he got back home, it was like, oh, my gosh, I've missed all of it. But I saw like the last couple of holes. So, and then, you know, the weird part to me, though, Mike, is, okay, this guy's just basically won the tournament. But now you got a group behind that has to finish.
I know.
Like, oh, God.
I know. And there was no way in the world they were mathematically eliminated for the hole before. and again, for Spawn to be the only dude under par. I mean, that was just, about, you know, there used to be, years ago, tournaments were like that. You know, I think I don't necessarily want to see 30 under, but be 12, right. 13, 14 under, you know. You're making birdies instead of just trying to save a bogey or a double bogey, but that's the U.S. Open. That's what we get with the Open.
I really wish they wouldn't make the rough so high, because you could be off just a little bit, but you could be off. It's like being a mile off, and I think that's real kind of too penal. I mean, I want to see them tested, but give them a little bit of a break, especially after this kind of weather they had. I mean, my gosh, it was tough, and the greens were, whoa, I'll tell you what, they were strange.
That they were. And even that low angle shot, the when you got to see really from the sort of the green level of how big a break that was and what a big dip Spawn had to drain that putt. It was funny because we sat there, we watched it, wrapping things up, we're getting ready to leave our Father's Day gathering. And by the way, happy Father's Day. I failed to say that.
I was saying to you.
And so anyway, I forgot that at the very beginning. But so I'm the only one standing in the living room when he made the putt. I'm like, he made the putt. I'm like, what? And everybody came running in there. And it was like 5 minutes before they showed the instant replay.
I know.
Showing everything else. I was like, he really did make it. I promise you guys. He made the putt. I saw it.
That's what I told you. I said, no, believe me, just a second. I'm sure they're going to play it in just a second.
They're queuing up right now. Here's the
day turning. I've been at TV, I know. But, you know, what gets me, though, is so, you know, you're waiting and waiting and waiting, but I guess he got a chance to see the read. What a great opportunity that was to see that.
Yeah.
But he had a two-putt, or was it just a three-putt to win? Whatever it was, he didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, he ended up winning, I guess, by one under, one over was the closest one to him.
Yeah.
So somebody, but again, it was that was already in the clubhouse, so nobody behind him had a chance to catch him. So yeah, he could have easily have two putted and won that thing, or even three putted and won it. But unbelievable.
I was watching they had that interview with McIntyre as they approached 18, and I'm he's like, you know, he's thinking, man, I hope he screws this up.
But he was great. The shot they had after he made the putt, he just sat there and clapped. He's like, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do have a lot of great sportsmanship out there on the tour. But I'm thinking, in the back of your mind, I'm sure you're thinking, in a way, you know, if he messes it up, that's okay, too. You
know? Well, and you know, when I think about coming into the tournament, how well Scottie Scheffler was playing. And, you know, I've already been talking the last couple of weeks about, man, he may get that career Grand Slam here in the next couple of years. He may get another leg. Like, everybody expected him to be up there. He could never get it going. So that's when you kind of realized, all right, if Scotty's not making that Saturday, Sunday push like we're used to seeing, this is some tough golf. And like Roy McIlroy said after he finally won the Masters, it's hard to win on the PGA Tour. And that's maybe the understatement of the year, isn't it?
You know, if Scheffler, I mean, he's a good putter, but he missed, I bet you, five or six putts under 3 feet.
He did, yeah.
If he makes those, you know, it's a whole new ballgame, but he didn't. That's part of it, and Spawn did. So you have to give him credit. And Scheffler is still, to me, the best guy out there. But, you know, that just shows you golf. You don't know. That's what makes Tiger Woods so amazing, too.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I mean, what he did. I mean, because it's nothing. Golf, as we all know, it is no easy game, even for the great players like they are. And it gets in your head some, and oh, man.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. So now we get ready for the Open Championship here. And I do like, I was talking to Pete McDaniel last week, I like how we got the Masters, and a month later we got the PGA, then a month later we got the Open, then a month later we got the British Open. It's kind of boom, 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 you know.
And then this year you got the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, got that too. Yeah, so golf has got a lot of great stuff going on, and it's been, it was just fun. And we started joking, just pretend like we were gambling amongst ourselves. We weren't doing it at our dinner, but I was like, you know, well, what's the over-under for how many clubs Terrell Hatton's going to break here before the round's over? Because he was one ticked off human being.
He always is. But I love it. He says, the one thing about this tournament is that everybody gets as mad as me.
They all get to that Terrell level. That's kind of like, if you got anger level, he is at the top. He's the red.
He's
hot.
Right there, buddy.
He's the hottest hot sauce out there. All right,
but we don't see him as much because he's in the live.
That's true. I know. Well, yeah. I'm happy too. An American won, and it wasn't a live American, and, so I'm happy.
Me too.
Yeah, JJ is a great guy. And one thing I love is, you know, his yardage book he uses, it's a Los Angeles Dodger cover. I thought, there we go.
Oh, yeah, I bet you like that. Now.
He is now my new favorite golfer now that he's seen the Dodgers stuff. And how about Shohei Ohtani going to start tonight for the Dodgers against the Padres?
Oh, really?
How about that?
Yeah, I did not know that.
He's going to be the starting pitcher. There's going to be a bullpen game. He may only probably only going to throw one inning. But he's not a dude you can send to the minors to get a few starts. You can't take his back out of the lineup for any
particular
time.
No way.
But something else to see him start tonight against the hated Padres.
I thought I heard them say he got up to 7.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I mean, the guy, that's just an unbelievable player. I'm going to look forward to that. I mean, is it on TV anywhere? Or we have to...
You know, I about guarantee you MLB Network or somebody's going to come in to show that.
I would think so.
Yeah, it was funny because in the middle of the game last night, that Rafael Devers trade happened.
Oh, gosh.
You know, from the Red Sox to the Giants, who the Dodgers were playing, and Andy Páez just hit a home run, so it became, all right, Dodgers going to win this. Let's talk about Devers for the rest of the night. I tell you, the Red Sox, I'm not quite sure what they're doing there, giving up
Devers. I don't get it.
I don't either.
It's
weird.
I know they've had some issues with him, but, you know, he's probably your best player, but I read a headline in the article yet where it says, if they don't make the playoffs, this trade is going to be so questioned. Yeah. It's going to be something they better have an answer for.
One of my best friends in the world, Stan Pamphilis, on with me here, longtime sports director at WLOS, and some of the most fun things you and I did back in the day, and yes, I'm from McDowell County, so your words like most fun. The most fun we had on trips was going to Atlanta for various things and seeing your mom, going to hanging out with Miss Ann, eating some good food while we're down there. But going to Braves games were a lot of fun. I know you're excited about how Acuna Jr.'s plans as he came back, but kind of what are your thoughts? It's such a horrible
start. That's one reason to get excited. Spider's starting to get a little bit better, but I tell you what, the bullpen is a mess, and they've blown 3 or 4 or 5 games, but they're just not the same. And plus, they got a hole at short as far as offensively. He's a good defender, and in left, it's the black hole.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody there, and then when the season started and Profar was suspended almost immediately. That's when you thought, you know, this could go south fast. And then you start bringing everybody's brother in there to play.
Yeah.
And they're just, and plus the core guys, this is what bothers me if I'm as a Braves fan. The core guys are not performing like they are expected to.
Right.
Albies is like, I don't know, he just doesn't look the same at all. Riley's spotty, you know, okay, pretty good. And Olsen, you never know exactly. I mean, he has power, but then he'll strike out 5 or 6 times in a row. So it's a team that I don't see them. I mean, yeah, I think they have to win 60 games after this to even sniff it, and I don't see it.
Well, at least with the expanded playoffs, if you can at least be one of that third best wild card team and sneak in the playoffs, that is good. But right now, the Phillies are playing good. Of course, the Mets are best team in the National League right now. I'm a little disappointed in the Dodgers. We had so many injuries with LA.
Yeah,
but you know, but still got one of the best lineups, and you know. Championships aren't necessarily won
in May
and June. They'll be there. You know, it's just having everybody healthy because Lord knows Dodgers have got, you know, 10 pretty good starting pitchers, but half of them have been hurt all year long. And I tell you, I'm loving the College World Series. Got Ryan McGee. Talked to him earlier about what's happening there. But, man, wouldn't you love to see Coastal Carolina win the College World Series?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
You better believe it. You better believe it. I love it. I think I read where this is the first time that nobody from the previous year made it this year into the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're all new.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool. But I'm for Coastal all the way. I mean,
Me too.
Yeah,
I can't get on board. Louisville's an ACC team, but they're not. They're not the old school ACC. I'd probably even pull for the Tar Heels if they were there just to give them a chance.
Murray State would have been a nice story too. But how many games in a row they won?
Oh, a ton. Yeah, Coastal's been
28 in a row, something like that. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. They're on the best roll of anybody right now.
And so I love it.
It's been a lot of fun. You know, and Stan, many a times we had conversations on Friday nights and overtime just about about high school athletics and how things were set up.
Yeah.
So finally, coming up this year, we're going to have 8 classifications. And I swear, I think we had many a conversation back in the day. We would have changed this probably 20 years ago because, again, it never was fair for the Reynolds and Asheville's of the world to have to play these ginormous teams down in Charlotte. So at least we're finally there, but the playoff system may be kind of weird. I read an article the other day about how it may not be, if you win your conference, it's going to be more based off RPI
So maybe playing tougher games is going to be better. And but, you know, that's hard for even teams around here. None of the good teams around here want to play our good teams. So it's really going to affect, I think, the Mountain teams more than down east. But that's the way it always is.
Well, I think so, too, because, you know, plus the RPI, I don't know about that sometimes. How do you determine, you know, you can't be statistically perfect. And right. I'm sure, but like in 1A, I mean, all our teams are great.
Yeah.
So how does that transfer to other teams? I don't know. I don't quite understand it. Oh, I haven't really delved into it deeply, but I agree with you. I'm glad they've opened up the classification, because like you said, it was really kind of an unfair situation.
Yeah.
Even though our teams did okay, especially Reynolds did real well in those upper classifications, but I think this will be more equitable.
I think so too. And then I remember last year, I think Reynolds beat like Inca, and I think Irwin beat Asheville or something like that, you know. So, and Irwin was lower than Reynolds at the time, and then they jumped way over them just because of the strength of schedule and how that stuff worked. I'm like, you know, a win's a win. You shouldn't be hurt for winning a ball game. But it's just, there's no perfect way of doing it. But they're at least I got the 8 classifications. I'm happy with that. We'll see how it all plays out this year. You know, I've been doing high school football here on WTZQ for the last couple of years, so covering Henderson County. So looking forward to doing that. Bearcats hopefully will bounce back a little bit. West should be good again, and East is starting to come around. North, Jim Beattie over at North doing a pretty good job. So we'll be doing a preview show here in a couple of weeks for high school football.
Yeah, I think Henderson County football has always been good.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, and I think now, I mean, hopefully Hendersonville, like you said, bounces back and has their routine year that they normally do. And they're always fun. And plus, they're always fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. And really, their leagues didn't change too much. They tweaked a little bit. They're back in with Mountain Heritage and Mitchell. You know, that's always fun. those are the ones you don't want to see in a conference, but it's fun. Hey, so quickly on college football, how are you feeling about your Bulldogs? Think Georgia is going to be
back be again? Good, but their schedule's tough, as you know. Well, it's always is in this. But you know, Gunnar Stockton, is he which guy is he? I mean, Kirby says he's fine, and against Notre Dame, he had moments. But against Texas, he looked good. But against Notre Dame, that's the first game he started, and he hadn't really played a whole lot. And I hope he'll be all right. You know, one day, you know, when I go back to Atlanta to see my mom, I go Franklin, Clayton that way.
Right.
And so I was in, you know, he's from Raven County.
Yeah.
So I was at the Ingalls in Clayton, and there he is. So it was during the summer, and I wanted to say something to him, but I didn't want to bug him. But he, you know, he's a stout kid, not thick or tall or big, but you know, he's strong enough. And he, you know, he people raved about him, and he seemed like a good guy, and the team seems to follow him.
Cool.
Whether or not that translates into wins, you know, as long as the defense is good, then from there they can. But I think they'll be. You know, I'm an optimist, but I think they'll be good.
I'm the same way. As a Wolfpack fan, low expectations this year, so that means the Wolfpack will do good, because that's usually
typically
99% of the time how it works. That's just the law of the Wolf. But I tell you, it's going to be a fun year. Hopefully ACC football will be better. I think ACC basketball will be better, but we got a lot of summertime to have some fun and debate that.
I know what I want to see how Belichick does at Carolina.
Yeah, me too. I think we all do.
I mean, just to see how that's going to work, or if it's going to work.
That's a story within a story within a story, no doubt.
And I hope Brad's kid is their starter.
I do too. Well, yeah, it's funny, you know, Brad does all these TikTok videos, and apparently his son, son Max is doing all these videos with his girlfriend too. So they have taken to the social media. The Johnson family have very well.
Check that out.
Yeah, they're all over the place doing stuff. Hey man, it is always great talking to you. We'll do this again down the road and
have you on again.
Man, it's fun being with you. And once again, a happy belated Father's Day.
Same to you, and tell Laura, your lovely wife Laura, hello. And we'll be talking to you soon. I enjoyed it as usual, my buddy.
Thanks. Sounds good, brother. All right, take another break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Tar Heel Tank Spencer. We'll be on the Sports Freak Hour here on WTZQ.
Are you ready to take your financial well-being to the peak of excellence? Summit Personal Checking combines exceptional benefits, competitive returns, and unparalleled convenience all in one powerful account. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by any of our local branches to learn more.
Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local trained comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Classic breakfast, only $8 before 8 a.m.
Score!
Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And welcome back to the Sports Freak Hour here, everybody, with Mike Morgan. Let's head over to the Mountain Credit Union phone lines for our home stretch guest and bring in my good friend. You know, this is kind of like I'm having on guys I used to work with. We talked to Stan earlier. You know, I was in Ryan McGee's book. And this guy is a longtime friend, was our longtime producer of the Sports Freaks, my good friend Tank Spencer. Tank, first of all, happy Father's Day, my friend. Hope you had a great weekend, and welcome to the brand new Sports Freak Hour.
Thank you, sir. Happy Father's Day to you as well. Actually, I mean, really good Father's Day. Hanging out, watching Red Sox, Yankees with my dad. It was pretty special weekend. So yeah,
good deal.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir, brother. Yeah. It's funny because back in the old Sports Freak days on WWNC, you know, Brian and I were huge Wolfpack fans, and this is Tar Heel Tank right here. So you kind of kept us grounded, because anytime we would lose track of anything, you would kind of bring us back, and typically you would make fun of us because you won titles lately and we have not. but just take a second.
I try to keep the expectations level, right? It's insane. Like, the NC State fever is one of those things that I've always admired. Of how can you be so positive about things that end so poorly?
It takes a special person to be a Wolfpack.
I know. You have some of the greatest moments in NCAA history, but you also have some of the worst collapses that I have ever seen. And we do take kind of pride in that. But I want to try to keep you guys, you know, from, you know, be on the ledge too much.
Well, you did a fine job.
Because y'all are building this next team up to be the national champions, and I don't know much about them, but I'm gonna say they're not.
Let's
temper the expectations of a top five NC State basketball team.
You know, okay. I think they're going to be pretty good, though. I will say that.
They're
going to be better than what we've been the last couple of years. I think Will Wade's a better coach than Kevin Keats, but still.
That's the key. Wade thing changes a lot for me.
Yeah.
Because over the years, you guys have brought in these coaches, and I'm like, this is not the guy. You don't have the guy. He doesn't have that thing. Kevin Keats is a winner.com, right? Is Kevin Keats a winner.com became a thing for me? Because it's hilarious to me, because I never thought he was. I never thought he was the guy. And I never thought any of the past coaches were the guy.
Yeah.
Will Wade, he's different.
Yeah.
That dude is different, right? Yeah. I make fun because of the NCAA allegations and all that kind of stuff. Like, we know what you did. You know what you did. He doesn't hide it. I love the fact that he doesn't hide it.
Yeah. To me,
I admire that.
The best Will Wade line is NIL is now it's legal. So that's basically what he said. So I love that line from our coach.
Yeah. I heard his first press conference and I went, oh my God, am I actually like falling in love with a Wolfpacker? This is crazy. Because he didn't step away from it. And like I said, I admire that.
Well,
he screwed up, but now he knows the game has changed.
That's right.
And he can play that game because he's done it before.
All right, so here we go. Kind of tell everybody a little bit about your background, Tank, because, again, you're our producer for a long time. You're now in the Sportsocracy. Kind of walk me through real quick how you got to where you are today.
Oh, man. It's been a long journey. I mean, I grew up, I wanted to be a broadcaster. I always admired, because I knew I was never going to be an athlete. That was just never going to be my thing. I tried it up until body was like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
I hear you, brother.
But I've always been a supporter. I've been an athletic supporter, if you will.
That's right.
You know, sturdy and reliable. but I always had something to do with sports. And I knew I wanted to be a broadcaster, so I went to school to learn how to do all the radio things. And I ended up working in talk radio, and I always had the goal of sports. I want to do something with sports. You got to keep me happy. So I went from having a weekend show to doing a weekday show every weekday, and a YouTube thing that has now blossomed into all kinds of journeys. We've been on the Ingles Living the Dream Tour. We've been from from Atlanta to Detroit to Green Bay to see the NFL draft to the combine in Indianapolis. It's all just kind of blossomed into this wild little dream. It is living the dream. And it's cool. I feel like I've stepped up in the world. Mike Morgan has called me to be on his show.
But you know what? You
I'm not used to being a guest on a show. I'm used to being the producer. I'm not used to being the front, the forward facing guy.
Hey, listen.
But that's why I like Iron.
Yeah.
You know, my morning job with First News on 570 with Mark Starling and all of the coverage that we did during Hurricane Helene led to us receiving the Service to America Award from the National Association of Broadcasters Leadership Foundation. And it's just weird to be a part of that.
Right.
I never saw myself being on the stage in Washington, D.C., in a tuxedo, receiving an award from, you know, the former newscaster from ABC National, right? It's a really strange feeling to go from nobody knows who you are behind that board to now I'm finding out people do know who I am.
So it is
a strange feeling.
And listen, you guys will deserve all the honors you got because, again, I think all the radio stations, one I'm on right here now at WTZQ, as well as one across the town, and all you guys, too, at iHeart, did an amazing job during the storm. Y'all kept everybody going, and all the kudos are well worth it. And, again, you know, you guys got a special place in my heart up there, no doubt. And, of course, Tank does the Sportsocracy, which airs from noon to 3 every single day on ESPN Asheville. We had Jeremy Green on talk. It's funny because Jeremy, I called him one night, and he fell asleep on me. That was after you guys got back from the draft. He took a nap, so I had to get him on the next week. But I got him on eventually, so that's good. Hey, let's circle back to a little basketball now because you talked about Will Wade. What are your thoughts about Hubert Green and the UR Tar Heel Tanks? I got to make sure people know that. Tank Spencer loves him some Tar Heels. Now, a lot of rumblings out there about Hubert. Is he on the hot seat? Isn't he on the hot seat?
Yes.
Talk a little Tar Heel basketball with me, Tank.
I mean, as a Tar Heel fan, I'm so dejected. I know I may not be in the majority of Tar Heel fans, but the current structure of college basketball confuses me.
Yeah.
And Carolina hasn't figured out how to play this game yet. I hope and pray that the adjustments that they've made, like, you know, bringing in the big guy is going to be something, but I've never seen Hubert do it.
Right.
I've never seen him be the guy. He almost made it. Right? He hit the team in the national championship.
I know.
A team that nobody expected to be there.
Right.
They gelled together and they found magic. But was that because of Hubert or was that because of the players?
Exactly.
I don't understand the roster construction. It has felt like in the last few years, North Carolina, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, it's gotten the leftovers in the transfer portal, in the high school recruiting. How did that happen?
You know, it's bizarre. There's no doubt. And Duke continues to reap the rewards and bring in the Cooper flags of the world. And Carolina's still getting good players. But to me, it's just been weird. And a question was asked me the other day by somebody. And I'm going to pose this to you, Tar Heel Tank Spencer, on the Mountain Credit Union hotline here with me tonight. Let me ask you this question, Tank, because I was asked this question the other day by a Tar Heel fan. Could this maybe be the time we're getting to where the Tar Heels need to think about getting away from the Tar Heel cloth, I guess, you know, because you went Dean Smith, and then you had those years, you know, you had Bill Guthridge, and then you had Matt Doherty, which still was the best time ever, was when Matt Doherty was a coach. But and then you've gone to Roy. Of course, Roy was great. Now you've gone to Hubert. It's always been within the Carolina family. Is it time for them to maybe think outside the box a little bit and get outside the family? Could that help you think the Tar Heels a little bit?
I think that's the only answer.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what our what's the stable.
Yeah.
Right, who do you have next? Is it Jerry Stackhouse who couldn't coach at Vanderbilt?
I hope not.
Like, I mean, and that wasn't even when the SEC was that tough.
Right.
Right? It wasn't like it is for the past, 2 years?
I know.
I mean, it's been crazy. I'm not trying to slag the SEC, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's not.
But 3-4 years ago, SEC right. was not what the SEC is now.
Yeah, not last year's SEC, where 100 teams made the NCAA tournament. You know, yeah.
right. I mean, the SEC is better than the G League.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. Currently. But you go back 4 years ago. And again, it's going to be interesting to see if that ever happens. I don't know if it ever would happen. But, you know, but again, I think Tar Heel fans are starting to grow very weary, and you were talking about earlier. I think they're just kind of, they're a little fed up with Hubert. And he's had some talent, you know, and I think you go back 2 years ago when you let the Wolfpack beat you in the championship, and then last year being a preseason top five and then barely getting into the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's just been weird. And, yeah, and listen, no matter, even though I love the Wolfpack, it is good in the world when the Tar Heels are good, when the Blue Devils are good, when the Wolfpack are good. That's when I love watching college basketball, when all of our blue bloods from right here in North Carolina are good. And we've been lagging behind a little bit. But the Tar Heels, I hate to say it, because they haven't been able to bring home the bacon here lately. They've been lagging a little bit behind, too, the last couple of years. And maybe it's
they try to recruit shooters. Yeah. I mean, you would think that they're out there going, hey, we need to find the best shooters that we possibly can because that is what we're going to do. We're not going to be an inside team. We're not even going to try. Right. We're not even going to put anybody down there that anybody is scared of. Right. Like, when in Carolina basketball history have you ever had that? I mean, you've always been terrified of what they had down low.
Yep.
You go back to Brandon Haywood and Eric Montross and all this, and I get the game has changed.
Right.
But I hate the game. I hate the way they're trying to change the game. Like, watching Carolina basketball, and this goes for, like, all of the NBA as well, like, y'all got to stop chucking threes every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It's not fun for me.
Yeah.
At all.
I know. And like I said.
And Carolina tries to play that game, but they can't find a shooter. Right. How are you trying to find a shooter, but you can't find a shooter?
You would think a shooter's be lining up.
It's insane.
It used to be back in the day, everybody wanted to come to Chapel Hill. But, but it's changed. And NIL, we could talk forever about I'm sick and tired of the landscape of college sports, and it's terrible. And all the lawsuits and everything that's happened in the settlements, you know, it is what it is. But, you know,
that's the thing. You got to figure out how to play the game, right? And Carolina hasn't found a way yet.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Bill Belichick's the answer.
Well, and that did that perfect transition right there into that. Because it's been kind of nice here in the last, I don't know, a few weeks. We hadn't heard a lot about his 24-year-old girlfriend. I've heard more about football from Chapel Hill than I did for quite a while. And let's talk about that, because that's the one thing that no one's talked about, is that whether you like him or not, and I don't really like him very much before he even came to Chapel Hill, but he is one of the greatest all-time coaches, and he's coaching at Carolina. And I think they're going to be pretty good, and the schedule looks like they should win a lot of ball games, but I know nothing about the football team. So what can you tell me about the football team? Are they going to be a good team?
Well, listen. We're gonna be a disciplined team.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I can tell you.
There you go.
We're gonna out scheme everybody, and we're just, you know, Bill drives me crazy. He always drove me crazy as a head coach of the New England Patriots.
We're on the
right. He never gave you anything.
He
would try to make you believe going into the first game of the season that there was a quarterback controversy.
Exactly.
Like, come on. You've got Tom Brady, and there's no chance. No chance you're starting Jimmy Garoppolo. Quit this, Bill.
Yeah.
Now this Bill is much different. I do like unbuttoned Bill.
Right.
Just like I like unbuttoned Saban on television. Bill Belichick found him a way.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I really don't know. I can tell you they're going to be competitive in every game they're in.
I know.
He didn't come here to lose.
No, not at all. And
he's got the talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may not be as good as NC State. Who knows?
Who knows? And, you know, and
but he's not expected to be.
Well, and there's question.
I don't feel like he's coming in here with large expectations of we're going to be national champions in 3 years. Do you?
I don't think so. I think everyone expects that just because he is the coach. But we got to remember he also had Tom Brady, and I don't know if there's a Tom Brady on your roster. We'll wait and see eventually. But you know, there's just questions abound really in the whole league. I think going into it, yes, we know Clemson will be pretty good. Yes, we know some of the teams will be pretty good. But then you kind of get past the top 2, 3, and 4, and you're kind of like, okay, who's going to step up? Will it be the Tar Heels? Could C.J. Bailey and the Wolfpack be pretty good? Can Manny Diaz keep it rolling at Duke? I mean, you know, then you got all these other teams that have joined from all across the country that I know very little about. But But, yeah, I don't know what the ACC as a whole is going to look like because we were not very good last year at all, except for Clemson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, I only saw this on Facebook.
Okay.
And so it could be complete fake news. Okay. But do you know, did Manny Diaz actually say that the ACC is the toughest conference in the country?
I've heard rumor that he did say that. I've seen it a couple places, and I don't know what he meant by that. And I'm not sure how many tequilas he had before he said that.
Precisely. Like, what are you doing in Miami, sir?
Exactly.
Okay, it's confirmed. The 90s Miami Hurricanes are back because the coaches are doing they're doing drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to be.
They got to be.
The ACC is just so it's just in a state of can y'all put it together? Can somebody figure out how we can compete with the other conferences?
Yeah.
I don't know how you fix the problem.
I don't either.
So I've had it locked in my brain that the ACC is on life support. Yeah. They're just trying to figure out how can we keep this going. Maybe SMU is going to be the next big thing.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe they catch on like 90s Miami did.
I know. Well,
I
who knows?
I don't know.
I don't either. But I will say one thing about
Bill Belichick being the number one story in this upcoming college football season is great for the university, and I think that's all they care about.
I think you're right. And you know, the one thing I know about the Wolfpack, and I've been saying this for a while now, expectations are low, so that is an 8-9 win guaranteed season. Because anytime we think we're not going to do anything, we end up winning a bunch of ball games. So I'm throwing that out there. Hey, Tank, listen, I got to wrap things up here on the show here tonight.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks so much for being with me. We will catch up again down the road, my friend. And good luck with the Sportsocracy, and congrats again on all the awards you're getting for First News, because you guys do a great job over there.
I appreciate it, brother. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. You too, Tank. Man, I tell you what, folks, when you start talking sports here, this hour passes by so quickly. Thanks again to Ryan McGee from ESPN for talking a little college baseball and other sports with me. For Stan Pamphilis, former sportscaster at WLOS, for being on with me, reliving a few glory days and also talking some golf. And, of course, thanks for my guest I just had on, Tank Spencer, to get us all caught up on what's going on in Tar Heel Nation. I tell you what, so we still got basketball going on. As I mentioned earlier in the show, NBA Finals tonight. Game 5, OKC hosting Indiana, so we'll see if the Pacers or the Thunder will move a game up in that series. NHL playoffs tomorrow night, Game 6, Florida Panthers' chance to wrap it up as they lead Edmonton 3-2. We'll see if the Oilers can keep it alive. And as I mentioned earlier, too, Shohei Ohtani pitches tonight. He'll be on the mound for the Dodgers. Can't wait to see what Shohei does. So a lot of sports going on this week, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that stuff and a whole lot more when you join me next week for the Sports Freak Hour. As always, thanks for listening, and have a great evening, everybody.
You've been listening to the Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. To listen to the podcast of tonight's show, go to WTZQ.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to the Sports Freak Hour. The Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan, Monday nights at 6 p.m. right here on WTZQ. Sponsored by Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963. Horizon Heat and Air, unmatched quality, service, and price. Eggs Up Grill, serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. And the We Sell WNC Real Estate team, Chris and Stephanie Scruggs.